We have a lot to celebrate today. At the end of the service, we're going to burn the mortgage for this place and celebrate the fact that we are now debt-free here at Reinhardt. That's a good reason for celebration, but we have a much greater reason for celebration this morning, and that is the fact that we are debt-free in Jesus. Amen? So any celebration that goes on this morning, if it's for the being debt-free financially, let's have a little celebration. But if we're talking about being debt-free spiritually in Jesus, let's have a lot of celebration. Amen? Because they don't compare with each other. On Easter Sunday, I would never want us to get distracted from the true cause of celebration. And so let's get to the first point without any delay. Praise God, we are debt-free financially. And that is because you have given to Jesus. Many of you have given sacrificially. I am told that as the multi-purpose building was being planned and being built, that a number of people pledged to give X amount of dollars above and beyond their regular giving to help pay for that building. And so, every month since 2012, many of you have remained faithful in your promise. And so on behalf of the congregation, might I say to you, God bless you and thank you for your stewardship to Jesus and your investment into the kingdom of God. And then many of you, many of us, have come along after that fact, after those pledges were made, after that building was built, you've come along and you have gladly jumped on board with your giving, and you have helped us cross this particular finish line. May you too be blessed by the Lord for your faithful giving. It's really been a team effort, all to the glory of God. And whether you were a big donor or a smaller donor, your gift has mattered. And your gift has helped us reach this goal of becoming debt-free. I did a little bit of research as I prepared for this sermon, and I wanted to show that to you on the screen behind me, and it's also in your bulletin if you want to look there as well. The initial loan was for $545,000. We're talking about the multi-purpose building. And I'm told, too, that the church had raised $121,000 to pay up front before that loan was taken out. And praise the Lord for that. And over the years, the church has faithfully paid on the loan through the monthly payments. But as you might imagine, the interest over the long haul has been quite costly. And as with any loan, the borrower is always enslaved, so to speak, to the lender. Well, as the church has grown, our leadership has become more and more interested in paying off that loan early. And what I could find in my records, and keep in mind, I've just been here for almost 8 years, so that's what I'm going back on, what I have in my hands. The first time that we mentioned the loan amount in our monthly board meeting was in August of 2019, and we owed at that time $313,000, $313,721. You see that at the top of the screen there. Well, I have some numbers for you to look at as I'm talking. You can see how over a period of time that number began to decrease. And our fellows became more and more interested, more and more focused on paying this loan off early. And that was because you were giving. You were faithful in your giving, and they then, in return, were wanting to be good stewards of that money and pay that loan off early and save all of that interest money and all of that to God be the glory. And you see, in September of 2020, we owed $262,000 and some money on top of that. So in 13 months, we had paid, if my math is right, we had paid $51,146 from August of 19 to September of 20. That was a pretty significant payoff. And I think from that, we began to narrow our thinking here and getting more and more focused. Let's get this paid off. And so you see about every year how that amount of money came down. And I want to point out to you, I think if we go to the next slide, in 23 is when we started the fifth Sunday offerings designated towards the debt. And in 23, we paid, if I see it here, we paid what, $97,000 and some money on top of that towards the loan in 1 year. That's the good of those fifth Sunday offerings. And then January of 24, we're at $100,568. And then January of 25, our loan payment was down to $15,487. And that means in 24, we paid over $85,000. And so those fifth Sunday offerings have been wonderful in helping us get to this point. And then by the time we came to that fifth Sunday offering in March, just a few weeks ago, we owed $11,825. And that's when we put the mortgage to rest, as we had a $25,000 offering. And then over the next few days, that particular offering ballooned as people gave after Sunday's offering and designated it towards that. That offering ballooned to over $26,000. And praise the Lord for our faithful giving, and praise the Lord for His putting it on our heart to give, and may it all be to His glory. Amen? May it all be to His glory. And our celebrating today needs to be in what He has done through us, not in what we have done. And there's a lot of difference in that. This day is all about Him. And as we later burn that mortgage, may He be the one who is glorified. So let me ask this question. Because up to this point, I've simply given you a lot of numbers, and those numbers are there for you to digest, but I think this is very important. Where do we go from here? Just because we have crossed this finish line, that doesn't mean that we are finished in our giving. This is one victory in what needs to be a continuation of faithful giving to the Lord Jesus. There's more victories to be won. There are more souls to be saved. There are more things for Reinhardt to do to the glory of God, and that needs to be the story of Reinhardt Christian Church until the day Jesus comes back. We can't just always be looking back. We have to look ahead. And might I mention to you, too, that as all of that money was being given towards the building, All along the way, we increased our money giving towards missions. And I think that's an important thing to point out. That's, in fact, a lot of folks think that's what has brought the blessing of God upon this church, that we have not just been focused upon ourselves and getting this building paid off, but we have focused on the kingdom of God abroad, and we have had money available to send to missionaries all over the world and also help people right here. And that's been the case the whole distance. And I praise God for that. Now, if you've ever listened to Dave Ramsey's radio program, he has people give their testimony about becoming debt-free, and then he has them count down from 3, 2, 1, and they scream, "We're debt-free." Would you do that with me this morning as we celebrate the fact that we are debt-free financially? And I want you to get into this, okay? I want you to get into this. I want you to scream this so loud that all of Vernon County hears it. Would you be willing to do that with me? As we count down from 3, 2, 1, you're going to scream and I'm going to scream. And I don't want to be the only one screaming. Will you do it with me? 3, 2, 1. We're debt free! Amen. You say, "Kevin, you're crazy." No, because that is reason to celebrate, but we have now greater celebration to talk about, and that is the fact. This is point number two. Praise God, we are debt-free spiritually. Amen. Yeah, and that's where we really need to be giving the amen. That's where we really need to be giving celebration this morning. The fact that we are debt-free spiritually. All of us were under a curse of death because of our sins. The scripture is very clear about that, that we are all sinners. We have broken God's law. Every single one of us, we have fallen short of His perfect will. We have missed the mark of God's ideal for us. However you want to say it, all of that was saying the same thing, the fact that we are sinners. And let me mention, Cindy and I were with three of our grandkids and my daughter Abby. Friday evening, we went and saw The King of Kings. And this particular movie does a very good job of making this point clear, the fact that we are all sinners and Jesus has come to set us free from our sins. If you've got little kids, especially, go see that movie because it will impact them of the story of Jesus. Though we have tried to be good, we try to do the right thing, we still sin and we break God's laws. We fight with those that we love, don't we? We argue with them. We get angry and sin. We say things that we should not say. We do things that we shouldn't do. We think things that we should not think. We are selfish. We are prideful. We are impatient. We are greedy. We carry grudges. We won't let go of those. And the list of sins that we are guilty of goes on and on. The fact is very clear. We are sinful people. We have been taken captive by the strong man. Are you familiar with the parable that Jesus told in Luke chapter 11? He had cast out a demon from a man, and the Pharisees accused him of casting out demons by the power of the devil. They said, you're casting out Satan by Beelzebul, which is another name for Satan. And Jesus answered them, why are you saying that? It doesn't even make sense. Why would Satan cast out Satan and work against himself? A kingdom that is divided cannot stand. And it's at that point then that Jesus tells this parable of the strong man. Let me read it to you from Luke chapter 11, verses 21 and 22. This is from the New Living Translation. It says, for when a strong man is fully armed and guards his palace, his possessions are safe until someone even stronger attacks and overpowers him, strips him of his weapons, and carries off his belongings. Now, if you read this parable amidst the context, it's really pretty easy to understand. The strong man is Satan. And he had mankind under his guard. He had mankind beneath his thumb. He had complete control of mankind because we're all sinners. And we were in his camp. But Jesus came along. You see, mankind could not free himself from the clutch of the evil one, from the strong man. But Jesus came along. This is the salvation story. He entered into this world in the flesh. He became one of us, and he faced every temptation that you and I face, and he overcame those temptations. He was without sin. And then on Friday of the week of Passion, he gave his life on the cross for all of mankind. He paid the full price for sin. He took upon himself the curse of sin. And it was a terrible curse. It was a terrible scene. He suffered more than what we can even imagine, the whipping on his back. You know what the psalmist said about that? That the soldiers, the whip, plowed furrows into his back. Now, we live in an agricultural area, and we know what a plow does to the ground. We've seen that. We've seen the deep furrows that are dug by the plow. And the psalmist says, that's what the whip did to the back of Jesus. It bore deep furrows into his back. They beat him in the face with their fist. They put a crown of thorns on his head, and then they took a rod and they beat those thorns deep into his brow. These were professionally trained soldiers who knew how to inflict pain upon their victim, and they were fueled by their master, Beelzebul. This was Satan pouring out all of his wrath on the Son of God. This was the full price of sin being paid for. And then they drove nails into his hands and his feet and hung him on a cross to die. The scripture says they spit in his face and they mocked him, but this wasn't even the worst of his sufferings. The worst of his sufferings was yet to come when the sky turned black and the Father turned away from him and the full weight of sin was upon Jesus at that time. Now, I want you to think with me for a moment the weight of one sin. You and I understand that because we have carried that weight. Many, many times. If I say things to my wife that I shouldn't say, if I've been unkind to her, there's a weight on me until I make it right with her. multiply that times all the sin of the whole world. From Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden up until you and me, to that last person who will sin before Jesus comes back, all of that weight, that burden of sin was upon Jesus as he hung there on the cross. And God, the Father, had to turn away from him. He was the epitome of sin at that point. And God turned away. He could not see that. He could not deal with that because God is a holy God. And it was at that point that Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? It had to be this way. Somebody had to pay the price for sin. It was supposed to be you and me. We were supposed to pay for our own sins. We are deserving of paying for our sins. The wages of sin is death. But Jesus loved us enough that he would step into our place. He said, I'll take Kevin's place. I'll take Skyler's place. I'll pay for his sin. I'll take Brian's place. I'll take Joy's place. And Kayla, because I love these people that much, I will pay the full price for their sins. And you can put your name in that blank space because he paid for all of us. That's what happened at Calvary. And what were Jesus's words before he died? He said, it is finished. It's paid in full. The price for sin was paid and mankind was redeemed. And on Sunday morning, the victory was sealed as he raised from the dead victoriously, and the strong man's house was plundered by the stronger man, Jesus. That's the parable. The strong man, Satan, his house, you and me, was plundered. And Jesus, the stronger man, came and pulled us out. Aren't you glad Jesus was the stronger man? Amen. Yes. He has rescued us from the strong man, Satan, and he has set us free from the burden of sin. But you know what? And I think Ethan alluded to this in the communion meditation. We have to say yes to Jesus. Just because he went through all of that doesn't mean that every single person is going to go to heaven. We have the opportunity to go to heaven. We have the opportunity to be forgiven as we put our faith in him and we surrender to him. We say yes to him. And so I want to ask you the question, have you done that? Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ as the one and only Savior? Have you repented of your sins, asking him to forgive you? And have you been baptized into Jesus? That's his plan for every single person. And when we follow his plan, we become debt-free of our sins. Now, why would anyone refuse that blessing? Now, let me ask you this. If you have a mortgage payment, if you are in debt financially to the lender, and someone came up here and said, okay, bring your mortgage to me. I'll pay it. I'll pay it all. I've got the ability to pay it all. You need to bring your mortgage to me right now. I bet there wouldn't be many sitting in the seats. I mean, this is an offer that you couldn't refuse. And here's an offer spiritually that is so much better than that. This is an offer that lasts for eternity, as Jesus is saying, do you have debt? Do you have sin against you? Bring it to me and lay it at the foot of the cross, and I'll pay it. Now, who of us would refuse such an opportunity? You ready to scream we're debt free? I mean, we're really going to scream it. We're going to scream it so loud that the strong man will hear it all the way to the gates of hell. And we're going to scream it so loud that the saints in heaven are going to hear it, because we have reason to celebrate. We're going to scream, we're debt free. Okay? On the count of three, with 3, 2, 1. We're debt free! Amen. Praise God. Let's pray together. Thank you for your blessings, dear Jesus. Thank you for saving us from our sins. And if there's even one here today, two or three, that have not brought their mortgage to the Savior, Lord God, help them to not bypass this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's